FabLab Podcast, Episode 13, Budgets Beat the Feast or Famine Cycle.
Welcome to the FabLab Podcast, brought to you by FabricatorsFriend.com. If you own or manage a stone shop and would like to reduce your frustration while increasing your profits, you've come to the right place. As the owner of a prominent Pacific Northwest stone shop with over two decades of experience and the author of the book Less Chaos, More Cash, our host knows more than just a little bit about the challenges of owning and operating a shop. You'll hear down-to-earth, real-life solutions you can implement today to calm your shop operation and generate more profit. Thanks for joining us, and here's our host, Aaron Crowley.
Welcome back to the FabLab Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Crowley, and as always, this podcast is brought to you by FabricatorsFriend.com. Today, we've got a fantastic topic to review, the subject of the feast or famine existence, the feast or famine cycle that is so common among small business owners, and I would say new business owners in particular. That was sure my experience. That really defined the first 5 years of my life as a business owner. So we're going to look at how budgets and budget forecasting can play a huge role in improving that existence, that feast or famine experience that's so common. But before we get into that, I want to mention a couple of things. First, yesterday was a first for the FabLab Podcast. I got to interview our first guest. I got to sit down with Eric Rolseth, the founder, owner, developer, inventor of the Fill-A-Chip Kit, which is a glue kit for filling chips and blemishes and defects in the surfaces and edges of granite and quartz countertops. He's also a stone shop owner. He's also a board member for the Stone Fabricators Alliance. And we got to sit down and talk about how he developed that product and introduced it to the industry. That podcast interview will air on July 3rd, exactly 2 weeks from today. So make sure that you mark your calendar. What's easier than marking your calendar is subscribing to the podcast so you get the automatic notifications of when that podcast airs. The second item I wanted to mention before we get into today's podcast subject is another announcement. In 2 weeks and a day, on July 4th, we are going to launch and make available a 3-video series on retail sales. This video series will be free. All you'll have to do is visit FabricatorsFriend.com and download it. And you'll be able to watch 3 videos that will show you how retail sales holds hidden profit potential for your stone shop. So make sure you mark that on your calendar as well. We'll be talking about it in the next couple of weeks, reminding you that that's going to be available. But I am really excited about that because retail sales is oftentimes overlooked, sometimes even avoided, but there is legitimate and genuine, and in some cases, tremendous profit potential by dealing with retail customers directly. So that 3-video series is going to delve into that topic. I hope you will check it out. Remember, that's July 4th. So today's topic, how budgets beat the feast or famine cycle, how budgets beat the feast or famine existence, so common among small business owners, and I would say quite common among stone shop owners. So when I mentioned budgets as a part of this conversation, hopefully you remember last week's episode where we talked about the 3D view, the daily dollar demand, and the contribution dollar conversation, really getting into the financial dimension of successfully operating and managing a stone shop. So this really follows on that theme of the financial grasp of our companies, how to schedule the work more effectively so that the dollars we're generating covers the expenses that we have, pays our salary as owners, and in addition to that, generates a profit for our company. So this is very much the next step in that theme, that financial topic that we started in the last episode. And today we're going to look at 3 different aspects of the feast or famine cycle or existence. The first is the problem with the feast or famine cycle. The second is why the feast or famine cycle happens. How does this happen in our businesses? And the third part of this we're going to look at is how to avoid it through budget forecasting and referring back to the 3D view, the daily dollar demand and contribution dollars, that grasp. Combining those with a budget forecast really will reduce the likelihood of experiencing the feast or famine cycle, and along with that, it will reduce the negative impacts that that feast or famine cycle has on your business. So my first brush with budgets and budget forecasts occurred during a conversation with a man who became my mentor. After this conversation, the conversation occurred about 3 years after I went into business for myself. My wife and I went to a small church. There was a couple that also attended that church, and Ray, my man who became my mentor, was the CEO of a very large independent grocery store chain at the time. So Ray and his wife had invited Heather and I out to dinner, and we'd had this very nice dinner at a very nice restaurant. As we were taking a stroll around this man-made lake next to the restaurant, we were talking about business, and Ray was asking me questions. And during this conversation, I mentioned that I was about ready to buy my first major piece of equipment. I was on the verge of writing the deposit check for a Park Industries Pro Edge 3. This was a huge milestone for me as a business owner. And Ray asked me this very nonchalant question: so is that $80,000 purchase in the budget for this year? And it really stopped me dead in my tracks, because I just was, I had no answer. I mean, I basically said, well, I'm familiar with the word budget, but I haven't the foggiest idea what budgets have to do with running my business. And when he heard that I had no budget, when he heard that I was just flying by the seat of my pants, when he heard that I was about ready to make an $80,000 commitment under those circumstances, he kind of freaked out. And that was really where our relationship changed. He said, stop. Don't do anything. Don't spend that money. Do not send that check in. Do not commit to that. Do not sign the paperwork until you and I have had a chance to sit down so I can evaluate the finances of your company. I can't believe you're about to make that kind of a decision and you don't even have a budget. He was just incredulous. He couldn't believe it. So that really began our mentoring relationship. We began to meet once or twice a week. In the mornings, we'd have coffee at Starbucks, and he began to help me see the absolute necessity of operating my business from a budget standpoint. And so over the course of the next few months, he demanded that I do the really, you know, kind of extensive work to go back and assess the business and really do the work that led to the daily dollar demand to understand the costs that I had in my business, and to then to put together a forecast for sales so that I knew how many sales I had to generate, or really the contribution dollars I had to generate on a monthly basis to cover those expenses. Not to mention, you know, to cover the cost of the payments on a very significant, you know, equipment purchase. So now you may be having the same reaction that I had with that conversation with my mentor, Ray, you know, this discussion about budgets and wow, I know what a budget is, but what does a budget have to do with getting countertops templated and cut and fabricated and installed? And I want to tell you that it has a lot to do with the successful management of a stone shop. And stay tuned to the end of the podcast, because I'm going to tell you the rest of the story and the true financial impact that discipline had on our company in 1 year. The year-to-year comparison, I'm going to tell you that at the end of the episode. So the first aspect of how budgets beat the feast or famine cycle really begins with the problem. What is the problem with the feast or famine existence? What happens? Well, obviously, famine is pretty straightforward. When you don't have enough work, when you're starving for work, you cannot generate the dollars necessary to cover your expenses, your payroll, and there's no profit in that case. So we obviously know the problem with not having enough work. But what's the problem with having too much work? In a sense, the feast side of this feast or famine experience. And there are four problems that should not be overlooked, they should not be diminished, they shouldn't be considered insignificant, because they profoundly impact the bottom lines of our stone shops. And the first problem with the feast is that it creates excessive overtime. In a sense, when we schedule more work than our capacity can handle, when we've got deadlines that we have to meet that exceed our normal ability to meet those deadlines, the natural result is that everybody's got to work harder and everybody's got to work longer. Well, when you're working longer, the cost of that labor obviously increases by 50%. And our labor is generally the biggest expense that we've got. And if you haven't quoted that work to accommodate the additional dollars that are going to come out of that in terms of the impact on the contribution dollars that are left on that job, it's going to erode the profitability. But that's only the start. The second problem with the feast side of the feast or famine cycle is mistakes. You know, human beings can rise to the challenge. They can exert enormous energy and effort for certain periods of time, but most people can't do that indefinitely. And if that period of feast is prolonged, human beings just start to slow down. The fatigue begins to set in and there's no opportunity to recover. There's no opportunity to rest. And so details are missed. Important factors are overlooked and mistakes are made. And those mistakes compound this already overworked, high stress environment. And so when you didn't have enough time to do the jobs anyway on straight time, now you're working overtime. Now you've got to do jobs over again. It just compounds the stress and it compounds the cost and the erosion of those net profits. The third problem that we experience is missed deadlines. You know, to maintain successful long-term relationships, you have to do what you say you will do. And if your customers are relying on you to install their countertops so that their projects can continue and that they can be successful, if you are making commitments and then failing to fulfill them, you're not only damaging your reputation, you are damaging the profits of your customers, and those relationships suffer as a result of that. And that, from a strategic standpoint, is extremely detrimental. If you lose one or two good customers because of your inability or your failure to fulfill your obligations to meet those deadlines, the cost of having to go recuperate that business by finding other clients is so huge. Now, the fourth problem with the feast side of this cycle isn't as easily measured in dollars, but it is no less significant and it is no less important to at least touch on so we understand the full cost of actually taking on too much work, and that is the stress. Stress on employees, stress on the owner, stress on the overall organization, and ultimately the stress on the finances in a general sense. And so those are the four problems that taking on too much work, the feast side of this cycle, impose on our business in the absence of having a budget. So now that we've talked about the problem with this phenomenon, let's talk about why it happens in the first place. I think there are two reasons why the feast cycle occurs in our companies. The first is that we don't understand what our true capacity is. In my first 4 or 5 years of business, my wife will tell you I was never home because I was working all the time. The reason for that was that I just simply didn't know how to schedule, and I was always overcommitting. And the reason I was overcommitting was because I really didn't know how much I needed to do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, and on a monthly basis. And so what ended up happening was that I would err on the side of caution. I didn't really know. And so to be safe, I'll take on a little bit more work. The other reason why we find ourselves in that feast situation is really more emotional. It's the fear of loss. How many of you have ever taken on a job that you knew in your gut you really didn't have time to do, but you also knew that if you didn't take the job, somebody else was going to get it? And while that is a very understandable sort of thought process for making the decisions about whether to or whether not to take on a job, in the end, if you've already exceeded your capacity or you're already at capacity to take on more work than you can physically produce, it ends up hurting your company. You find yourself on that feast situation, working overtime, making mistakes, missing deadlines. And so when you've got a budget-focused mindset, when you have a budget forecast, you know your daily dollar demand, and you know the contribution dollars on every job, you realize at a certain point, you know what? I've got all the work I need today or this week or this month. I have no reason to take on more work. Even though that job may go to somebody else, if you've got what you need to meet your budget, to cover your expenses, make your paycheck, and produce a profit, the wise decision to make is to pass on the job or to see if they'll wait till you have an opening in your schedule. And that leads us to our third point, the very essence of this podcast episode: budgets beat feast or famine cycles. And here's why. Budgets are really, or simply, a financial model, if you will, that incorporate the daily dollar demand that you have determined for your company, the number of dollars necessary to generate every day to cover expenses, pay you your compensation, as well as produce a profit. That daily dollar demand is, in a sense, turned into a monthly forecast. How many dollars do you have to generate spread out over the course of those 4 weeks so that you can evenly schedule those jobs so that your capacity can fulfill that demand without overworking itself? and then being disciplined to stick to it. When you're a little bit light in a particular week, sales focuses on filling the gap. When you've already got the week filled, it gives you the perspective to be disciplined to say, you know what? I've already got enough dollars scheduled for that week. I don't need to give into the temptation to take on more work than we can physically do because I know it actually works against me. So the financial model, the forecast, the budget forecast really gives you a picture that allows you to be disciplined with. So now we've talked about the problem with the feast or famine, why it happens, and how budgets beat it. The question is really from a practical standpoint, what does a budget look like and where is it stored? How do you refer to it? Well, that's going to be the topic of our next episode. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of how you create a budget, where it goes, and then how do you refer to it? How do you actually put it to use in your business? That will be episode 14, budgets and financial statements, because the way this really works is you upload that financial forecast, that budget forecast that includes the daily dollar demand on a monthly basis, all of those expenses that you know you're going to incur, including your compensation as well as the profit you want to create. You upload that to an accounting program like QuickBooks, and QuickBooks then produces the actual. At the end of the month, you see what you really did, and you can compare it to what your budget was. That allows you to look back on your company's financial performance over the previous month and make adjustments so that you can reach that budget. It gives you more clarity, more understanding, more grasp of the financial realities of the business so you can make better decisions and you can make your company more successful and more profitable. Now, I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I would tell you the rest of the story. And so when Ray and I started getting together for breakfast, it was on the condition that I would not do anything until we'd had time to talk and he'd had time to really go over our finances. And he was really looking out for me is what it really came down to. He was trying to help me avoid making a colossal or catastrophic mistake by buying some huge piece of equipment when I really wasn't financially able to, you know, meet the obligation. And so we began getting together and he began walking me through what a budget was so that we could create budget to actual financial statements. And so over the course of that fall, I'll never forget at the very end, he had required me to provide him with my budget for 2003 before 2003 started. And so over Christmas break, my wife and I had gone to Montana to visit family. We were there in the snow, stuck, and I'll never forget, everybody was having a great time. And I was over there on my laptop trying to finish putting together this budget forecast for 2003 so I could email it off to my mentor, Ray, so that he could give me the approval, if you will, so that I could buy that piece of equipment. And here's the reality. It was the first time in 4 years of being in business that I actually had a sales target that I was focused on. I'd always just sort of taken the business as it came without any real rhyme or reason as to how I scheduled it or what activities I would undertake to impact that. I just had the idea that whatever comes in the door is what we'll do, no matter what the impact is on the business. Creating that focus, taking that monthly goal and breaking it down into weeks and then breaking it down into days gave me absolute clarity. And sort of for the first time since I had been in business, I was focused on scheduling that work daily, weekly, and monthly. And then I was focused on controlling my costs. So I also bought the Pro Edge, and that had an impact on our finances. But here's the reality. The following year, 2004, we almost doubled our profits. It was astonishing how that view, how that focus, how that ability to fill in the gaps so there weren't the famine periods, and how we ironed out and sort of lowered the number of feast scenarios that we had and how we spread that out over the course of the year dramatically improved the profitability of our company. So that concludes episode 13, why budgets beat the feast or famine cycle. Make sure that you check in next Tuesday with us as we conclude this series on Stone Shop Finances. We're going to talk about budgets. We're going to talk about financial statements and accounting software that help to give you that clarity, that grasp, that understanding, and the discipline so that you can make more effective financial decisions within your business. Also want to remind you to visit fabricatorsfriend.com to check out our fab gear, our custom line of fabrication sleeves, aprons, and coats. You know, the reality is that our product sales are what enable me to do this podcast, to produce these episodes and produce the videos that we are now beginning to make available to you. So sure, appreciate it. Would be honored if you would check out that gear and consider those products for your crew out in the shop. And lastly, want to just remind you to subscribe to the podcast. Instead of having to check back on the website or wonder when these episodes are going to come out every Tuesday, you'll get an automatic notification. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel as we are now producing Profit Pointer videos every Thursday. So thanks again for joining me for this episode of the Fab Lab podcast. Until next week, happy fabricating.